Hello, and welcome to this week's recording for Sunday the 16th of May, which is part of our lockdown series. And today we're going to be talking about another Wonder Woman who we can learn amazing things for, things from what they did and try and apply them to our lives today. So last week, if you remember, we looked at Rebecca and how God used her to comfort Isaac after his mother had died. And if you'd like to listen to that, just go back a week. Although I warn you now, I do get the date wrong in that one. So I say it's for the 9th when I should have actually said it's for the 10th. And today's one is actually for today's Sunday, the 17th. Of May. So getting my days all mixed up, and I'm sure that's the same for most of you as well. It's only that I get to tell it to lots of people. Yay! For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Kuda, and I'm one of the Sunday school teachers at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. And since you guys can't come to me, I am coming to you through this broadcast to go through a Sunday school lesson. So before we do that, let's play a game, a lovely little guessing game. Right. So just for fun, I am thinking of an animal. Okay. So you get 5 chances to try and guess what it is. And of course, I do tell you what it is after the 5 guesses, but you get points. You can give yourself points. If you get it after the first clue, then you get 5 points, 4 points after the second clue, and so on until we get to the last clue, which will be very, very easy, and you only get 1 point. So see how many points you can get. Okay, so the first clue is that this animal has a long neck and long legs. So what animal do you think that could be? You might have narrowed it down to quite a few animals. Or maybe just 1 or 2, I don't know. Okay, for 4 points, this animal lives in a very specific area. So by that I mean either somewhere very cold, or somewhere very hot, or somewhere like water. Those are specific areas. So this animal lives in one of those specific areas. Okay, it could be a jungle. That could be a specific area. So something like that, just to give you a clue. Right, for 3 points, this animal's name begins with the first 7 letters of the alphabet. So it could either be A, B, C, D, E, F, or G. It can't be anything else. One of those animals is the name of this animal. So what do you think it is? Right, for 2 points, this is your 4th clue. This animal has an unusual shape. So it's quite a different shape from lots of other animals. So what do you think the animal is? Okay, and the last clue for only 1 point is that this animal is very good at keeping water for a long time. Can you guess what the animal is? Right, if you said camel, then you are right. That is the animal that I was thinking about. And it links into last week's story, which was about Rebecca. And if you remember that when Abraham's servant went to look for Isaac's wife, he took along 10 camels, and Rebecca offered to get them, to give them lots of water. As I say, listen back to last week's recording. If you don't remember that, or if you haven't heard it. Right, so today we're talking about a woman in the Bible called Rahab. She starts off in the story of slightly little value, but she elevates herself and she ends up being a very, very important person in the ancestry of Jesus. So there's quite a lot, I feel, to learn about her. And she's also one of the people that not a lot is said about the Bible in her story. Her story is significant, but also quite small. I mean, she doesn't have a whole book to herself like Esther or Ruth. But her story is sort of like only a couple of chapters, and well, one chapter and a little few verses from another chapter. So you find her story in the book of Joshua. And I'll just tell you a little bit of what goes on. Joshua is in charge of the Israelites at that time, and he decides to send up spies to go into the land of Jericho to see what the land is like and how they should attack Jericho and take over the city. Now, the city of Jericho was very well fortified. They had high walls, and the walls were so thick that they were houses within the walls of Jericho. So there were really, really thick walls that were protecting the city and very difficult to get into, because you could only get into them through the gates. And of course, the gates were well guarded. So Joshua sent two spies into Jericho to have a look around and see where the weak points were. And the king of Jericho, he heard about this. And so he sent out people to look for the spies. And everybody pretty much knew that they had gone to this lady's house, and her name was Rahab. Now, the Bible does not mince words about Rahab's occupation. She had not very good occupation. She was a prostitute. You'll have to try and maybe ask mums and dads to tell you more about this and how they want to explain to you what a prostitute does or did, but it's not a very good job. And it wasn't something that people would be very proud of. But she kept a house, and maybe people would go there and they would drink alcohol and maybe get into, you know, and dance and maybe have fights. So that was the sort of house that she sort of ran, and it wasn't very good. But the Bible keeps telling us this idea that she was a prostitute. And so, you know, as I say, parents will be better able to explain to you at your age what that meant. Anyway, so the spies go to her house and they say, and everybody knows they are spies from Israel. So they were very good at keeping a secret. So Rahab takes them into her house and she hides them. And the soldiers from the king come looking for the spies. And because they know they were in Rahab's house, they go and they knock at the door. And Rahab comes out and she says, oh yeah, the spies were here. They were here earlier on, but they're not here anymore. You can come in and have a look, but they've left and they went in that direction. And she tells them the wrong information, and she lies to them and tells them that the spies are no longer there. And so she hides the spies, she feeds them, and then she tells them how to get away from the soldiers. She said, if you go sort of like go out my window and go down out of the city wall and go into that field, stay there for 3 days, and then after that, it'll be safe for you to go back to Joshua and tell the Israelites all the secrets that you found out about the city while you were here. So she helps them out a lot, okay? And then she lets the spies out of her window, and that's within the walls of the city of Jericho, and they go outside of the city, and they go. But before she lets them go, she says, I've helped you out, and I've helped you out a lot, and so I need your help back. I want you to swear to me that when you, well, it's like a promise, isn't it? When someone swears that they're going to do something, it's like a promise. She says, I want you to promise that when you come with the Israelites' army and you defeat this city, that you will protect me and my family. So the spies say, well, yes, actually, you have been very good to us and you have helped us out loads. So we agree to that. We will look after you. And if anything happens to you, you know, we will take the blame for it. But we're going to make sure that you and your family are safe. But they tell her, make sure that all the people that you want to be kept safe are in your house. They must come into the house and they must stay there. And the sign that you will give us so that we remember where your house is you must let down a line, a cord, a red cord down your window and leave it there so that we know which house to keep safe when we are sort of attacking the city of Jericho. And Rahab says, that's fine, I can do that. And then the spies go back to Joshua, and later on they do attack Jericho. And everybody knows, from Joshua, who's in charge of the whole army of Israel, all the way down to the lowest person in the rank, and they all know that, yes, we're allowed to attack Jericho, but we must keep Rahab and anybody that's in her house. We have to keep them safe. So that is how Rahab was saved from, because the Israelite army come and they march around Jericho. You can read about that in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. In chapter 5 and 6, that's when it all happens. That's when all the battle is. And they march around Jericho, and without even throwing a single spear, all the people are killed in Jericho and they are victorious. But in chapter 6, verse 17, it tells us that Joshua, when he was sending out the command to the army, he told them, make sure that nothing bad happens to Rahab, the prostitute, and all the people in her house. And we must make sure that she is kept safe. And then we hear in verse 22 and verse 23, that yes, they did conquer Jericho and they killed all the people except for Rahab and the people that were in her house. They were all kept safe. So that is the story of Rahab and what happened. So what lessons can we learn from that? Oh, we do hear of Rahab a few more times later on in the Bible. There's a time when in Matthew, they are talking about the genealogy of Jesus, which is like his family tree, the family tree of Jesus. And they are explaining to us, you know, all of the relatives from Abraham all the way through to David, all the way through. And they are talking about who the father of this person was and the father of that person was. And there are two women that are named in the whole genealogy. It's in Matthew chapter 1. From verse 1, they start talking about it. In verse 3, they mention Tamar, who is one of the ladies that is mentioned in the genealogy. And in the second one, they mention verse 5, they mention Rahab, and they say Salmon now was one of the spies that Rahab hid. They must have sparked off a very nice friendship, because after all of the taking over of Jericho and all of that, he marries Rahab. So she stops any other business that she was doing, and she starts, she becomes a very good wife to Salmon. And they have a son, and his name is Boaz. And Boaz is the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David, King David. Now, and then from there, it shows that Jesus was born in the line of David, of King David, which is one of the reasons why he was considered a king when he came down to earth, because his bloodline is from the family of King David, right? But in the middle of all of this, they mention Ruth, they mention Tamar, and one of the other women they mentioned was Rahab, who started off with a very bad job, and then later on got married to Salmon, became a respectable woman, and is even mentioned in the bloodline of Jesus, which is a very, very important position to have, especially for a woman, because very few women are mentioned in the whole genealogy of Jesus. So what are the things that we can learn from Rahab and the things that she did? that will help our lives today. When the king's men came to knock on the door, Rahab showed that she feared God more than she feared the king. She wanted to follow God's instructions more than she wanted to please the king, because she could have worked with the king's men and told them where the spies were, and then they would have gone and probably killed the spies. So Joshua would not have got the information that the spies had. But Rahab knew what God was like. Even though her culture did not worship God, she had heard and she knew a lot about the type of God he was. And in Joshua chapter 2, in verse 9, Rahab starts talking, and she goes to the roof and she starts talking to the spies, and she says, "I know that the Lord, your God, has given you this land, and a great fear is on all of us. We're very worried that you're going to come and take over, because we know that that's the sort of God you serve. So for all the people that are in this country, we have melted with fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites." And basically she's just telling them that, "I have heard how great your God is, and I am actually willing to serve your God more than I'm willing to serve my king." And that is what our attitude should be like. If we have a choice between doing what God says and doing what people want us to do, we should do what God says. Now, I'm not talking about trying to get out of doing a job or trying to get out of doing something and then saying, "Oh, God told me I shouldn't do that." Okay, it cannot be as an excuse. It has to be something that's really proper tangible, and it has to be something that you know God has told you to do something. So you should do what God says before you do what man says. You should prioritize what God says for you to do. This could be something when you're older, maybe choosing a job, or maybe, okay, sometimes you might feel like some of your friends might give you bad advice, and they might ask you to do something that's maybe a little bit horrible, like being horrible to a new child at school, or to a friend, or sending messages to somebody that are not very nice. That sort of thing, definitely don't do it. Do what God says, because God says that we should love our neighbor, we should love the people around us as much as we love ourselves. And we wouldn't do horrible things to ourselves, so we shouldn't do horrible things to other people. Right, although Rahab had a bad start, I keep talking about her job and how bad that was, she still had an idea of who God was, and that is what drove her. She didn't look at herself and think, "Oh, I've got this horrible job and God is not going to use me, or God can't help me to do something good," which was looking after the spies and hiding them from the Roman soldiers. She kept her mind open to what God can do, because God can do amazing things, even with us, even with you. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. If God has an amazing idea and he wants you to fulfill it, he will give you all the power and all the things that that you need. Rahab was really clever, and she said to the spies, "Come and have a look in the house if you want to." She knew the spies were there, and those Roman soldiers, the soldiers could have come and had a look and then found the spies. But she was really, really clever and very confident, telling them, "You can come in and have a look if you want to," even though the spies were in the house hiding. Now, so Rahab really appreciated that it was better to be a servant to God than to be appreciated by the king. So we shouldn't look to please people more than God. We should look to do the right thing by what God says and by his standards, and not try and do the things that people tell us to do, especially if they're not good advice. If it's not good advice for you to do some things, then you really need to follow what God says in the Bible and the way that he teaches us to behave towards other people or otherwise. And Rahab was really, really insightful, which means she could look at the situation and think amazing things, because she could really work out that God was going to win, that the battle between Jericho and God's people were going to win. And so she used that to her advantage. She planned, she made plans to save her family and the people that she loved. And so she made a deal with these spies, and she said, I want you to make sure that you will save me, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all the people that are with them. So like all of her cousins, all of her nephews, all of her nieces were all supposed to gather together in her house so that they would be safe. And she took really good advantage of her position, of her situation. Once she had hidden the spies, she made a deal with them. And that was a very, very clever thing to do. The last thing that I think we can learn from Rahab is that God really used her to show us that sign of the Passover. Because when she put out the red rope outside her house for the army and all the people fighting to see that that was her house, it was similar to Passover. And we've spoken about Passover. If you remember, it was the time when the Jews, the Israelites, were coming out of Egypt. And this was the last plague of Egypt, when Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go, and he wouldn't let them go out into the desert to worship God and to go to the land of Canaan. And God said, I am going to send an angel of death, and he's going to kill all the firstborn sons in each of the families. But for all of the Jewish people, if you will put the blood of a lamb outside your door and stay in the house and hide in there and do not come out until the angel of death has passed over the houses. So that night, nobody was allowed to go out at all, because if you did, the angel of death might just kill you. So when the angel saw that blood, it was a sign that that was a house that was protected. So then the angel passed over without killing anything. And this cord that Rahab put outside her window was like a Passover, was like the blood that the Israelites put over. And of course, later on, when Jesus was going to be crucified for our sins, he said that he was the Passover lamb, that his blood was going to be spread over us so that the devil cannot get at us. And the devil will see that blood and will pass over us. And it's a sign of protection, and it's a sign of keeping us safe. And that's exactly what happened with Rahab. That red cord, or that red rope, showed everyone that we can kill everyone else except that house. That house, we have to pass over it. We cannot kill, we're not allowed to kill anyone in that house. So those are the lessons that I feel that we can learn from Rahab and her life. And she was really an amazing woman, because, as I say, although she started off very badly, she ended up with a fantastic history in the Bible of being somebody who had faith in God, even a God who she didn't know very well, but she had heard how great he was, and she believed that. So we can have faith in God, because we know him better than Rahab, and we should have faith in God like Rahab had, to know that he can win battles, he can fight things, even this coronavirus. God can help our government, and he can help us to make the right decisions so that people are kept safe and stay alive. So there's a lot to learn from Rahab, and I hope this has helped you to see some of those lessons. So before we go, let us pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for the history lesson we have heard on Rahab and her life. And I pray that some of the things that she did, we will do as well, that we can be people who can be trusted to make the right choice, which is following you. And that when you put that opportunity in front of us, that we will take it and we will use it to the best of our ability so that we can save lives like Rahab saved her family, and her brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and whoever else was in her house at that time. We thank you and praise you, O God. And I pray for the children that during this time, you will keep them safe and you will help them to trust in you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God bless you, and hopefully I'll speak to you next time. Bye.